Well, I am so excited this morning because we are starting a new series called A Spirituality of Imperfection. And over the next 10 weeks, we are going to be looking at ancient Judeo-Christian traditions to distinguish between what we would call life-giving spirituality and death-dealing religion. The driving question of this series is, what are the marks of true spirituality? And how can these resources help us to live a more authentic, free, and joyful life today? And this morning, we're going to kick off the series by getting really honest about what it means to be a human being. And I'd like to begin with a story. As early as the 3rd century, after the legalization of Christianity in the Roman Empire, there were Christian ascetics and hermits who chose to live in the wastelands, the deserts of Egypt. They did this in an effort to fully understand what it means to be a human being and to draw closer to God through meditation and prayer. It was common for people to seek out the desert fathers and ask them for counsel, and they had a really big influence in the development of early Christianity. There is a story of one of these fathers, known as Abba Poman, being visited by a dignitary. The dignitary sat down to talk with him, and shortly after he began to speak, Poman turned his gaze away and began to ignore him. Confused and distraught, the man left the room and asked one of the holy man's followers, "Why is Abba Poman ignoring me?" The disciple went back into the room and talked to Poman. And he said, "Why were you ignoring this man?" Poman said, "Well, he came as a man speaking about heavenly things, but I am of the earth, and I speak of earthly things. If he had spoken to me about the passions of his soul, then I would have answered him. But if he speaks about spiritual things, I know nothing of them." The dignitary returned with a new question. He said, "What shall I do, Abba? Because my soul is dominated by passions." And Abba Poman replied, "Now you are speaking rightly." Now, when you understand that the desert fathers were spiritual giants, this story is shocking. I'm surprised the man didn't say, "What do you mean you don't know anything about spiritual things? You've dedicated your entire life to prayer and meditation and drawing close to God." But what we learn from this story, what we learn from a wise person, Abba Poman, is that true spirituality is not focused on escaping our humanity. Now, that might seem obvious, but I want to say it again because we're going to unpack it for the next several minutes. True spirituality is not about escaping our humanity. It's not primarily about life after death, but about life before death. It's not primarily about a future existence when we are no longer burdened by the limitations of our humanity, but about learning to live a fully human life by accepting and embracing those limitations. Now, most of you are familiar with the name Karl Marx. He was an atheist who offered a pretty powerful critique of Christianity. In his experience, Christianity told people that their present lives, with all their oppression, injustice, and pain, really didn't matter. What really mattered was dying and going to heaven. and that these people would just quietly and patiently endure their sorry plight, that God would reward them in the afterlife with pie in the sky by and by. And in this way, he said, religion serves as an opiate of the masses. It was a tool that wealthy and powerful people used to oppress the poor and the weak, keeping them from rising up and revolting in the name of justice. And then other well-known thinkers chimed in as well, people like Sigmund Freud and Friedrich Nietzsche, who argued that religion and their experience was about escaping this life with all of its responsibilities and pain. And in this way, it encourages people to repudiate the human condition and to live in a fantasy world. And you know, Christians like to demonize these thinkers, but they were not entirely wrong, because their critiques were not leveled at life-giving spirituality. They were leveled at death-dealing religion. This is what Marx and Freud and Nietzsche were criticizing. But I want to come back to the things that you can see with your own eyes. And I want you to think about the ways that people try to escape their humanity. Some people try to escape by being less than human. Does anybody have a dog? Raise your hand. I was heartbroken when my Aslan, my white German Shepherd, passed away this year. But there were times when I was wrestling with all of my responsibilities, and I would look over at Aslan, and he would have this dumb, joyful look on his face. Just no worry in the world. And sometimes I would think, I wonder what it would be like to be Aslan. Human beings created in the image of God have unique responsibilities. But some people don't want these responsibilities, and so they try to surrender to a life of pure instinct or physical pleasure. They try to escape the human condition by pretending that they're just one animal among others on this planet. And then others try to escape the human condition by trying to be more than human. And I would suggest that this is the promise of false religion. They say, if you just convert to our tribe, then all of your wildest dreams will come true. You will be happy and healthy and wealthy. You will no longer struggle with doubts because we will give you certainty. And that void that you feel in your heart will teach you how to completely get rid of it so that you will be totally satisfied. Again, this is false religion because it is a promise to make you something more than a human being, the kind of creature that must learn to live with unfulfilled desire and uncertainty. And then other people try to escape the human condition by creating an alternative reality through drugs, alcohol, behavioral addictions, and yes, the almighty entertainment industry. This strategy is one of distract and console. So if you don't like the world that you're living in and it hurts too much to carry on, then you can create your own world where you can feel good all the time. But true spirituality is not about escaping this life with all of its doubts, imperfections, and pain. It's about learning how to fully embrace these things and find real life, what Jesus calls abundant life, in this world, in this moment. Jesus said in John 10:10, I came that they may have life and have it, what? Abundantly. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is already among you. Jesus says, the kingdom of God indeed is within you. Do you have eyes to see and ears to hear. The Gospel of John talks about eternal life in the present. It's not something that you have to wait for to enjoy after you die. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary, you're worn out, you're carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest, and I will give you eternal life." And that eternal life will begin when? Right now. This is why John Colobos, another desert father, said, "If you see someone going up to heaven by his own will, grab him by the leg and pull him down." You see, when we stop running away from this world, when we stop trying to escape our humanity, we can get really honest about what it means to be a human being, so that we can be the kind of creature that God created us to be. And if we're honest, we have to admit that human beings live with a haunting sense of incompleteness. Have you experienced this? In our quiet moments, we discover unfulfilled longings, a sense of emptiness, loss, or separation. We also get the feeling that there's something just beyond our reach, that if we could grab it, it would give us certainty and ultimate satisfaction. But it always feels as if it's just beyond our reach. What a weird experience. It's a feeling that is unique to human beings, because there is a sense in which we are very much a part of this world as one animal among others. But there's another sense in which we transcend this world as spiritual beings created in the image of God. And as creatures that are both part of the world but also not part of the world, have this very unique experience that many Christians describe as the paradox of human existence. Let me explain with a couple of examples of what that means. As finite creatures, and the word finite simply means limited, we're not God. As finite creatures in the material world, we have unfulfilled desires. And as spiritual beings, we are aware of those unfulfilled desires, and we yearn for satisfaction. You see, my dog Aslan might have unfulfilled desires, but he's not aware of them. And he doesn't yearn for a deeper sense of meaning in the world. He just wants me to give him his kibble and pet him on the head occasionally. But human beings are different in that they not only have this kind of experience of unsatisfied desire, unfulfilled desire, but they're also very much aware of it. It becomes a problem for them because in their imagination, they can imagine what it would be like to have those desires ultimately fulfilled. And there's a tension there that remains uncollapsed. It's just there. We can't resolve it. As finite creatures in the material world, we wrestle with uncertainty. But as spiritual beings, we're aware of these doubts and we yearn for certainty. As finite creatures in the material world, we experience real limitations to our abilities and powers. And as spiritual beings, we are very acutely aware of these limitations, but we yearn for omnipotence. We want to be all-powerful as God is all-powerful. As finite creatures in this material world, we have imperfections. And as spiritual beings, we're very much aware of these imperfections, but we yearn for what? Is everybody awake? We yearn for perfection. Again, we experience brokenness, but we are aware of this brokenness, and it makes us yearn for healing and wholeness in our life. True spirituality does not help us to run away from or escape or ignore these tensions and contradictions that constitute human existence. Rather, they help us to honestly acknowledge these things as precisely part of what it means to be a human being. If you're a human being, you're going to experience these tensions. And it's going to create some discomfort and anxiety and sometimes pain. But instead of giving us strategies to escape them, true spirituality teaches us how to accept them. Will you say that with me? Accept them? Accept them. To not just tolerate them, and even more than accept them, but to embrace them and to love them as part of God's design for finite and perfect human beings. True spirituality, as Paul Tillich says, cultivates a courageous faith. Not a passive faith, not maybe I'll hope for something in the future faith. A faith that is courageous insofar as it empowers us to accept ourselves for who we are as human beings and the contradictions that structure our existence. It teaches us how to live an authentic, fully human life, engaged in the present moment. Don't you know this is what meditation is all about? It's about not being lost in the past or fearful projecting in the future. It's about being where you are, fully present, aware of the Spirit of God all around you. And as we acknowledge and accept that we are mixed up, incomplete, limited, flawed, imperfect, we also, at the very same time, come to the realization, I am not God. Which is the original sin. You think back, it's not about eating a piece of fruit off a tree. The serpent promised Adam and Eve, if you eat this fruit, you will be like God. That's what we want. We want to be in control. We want to be all powerful. We want to call the shots. We want to save ourselves. And we not only acknowledge that we are not God, but because we are not God, these tensions will never completely be resolved this side of heaven. The great Saint Augustine says in his Confessions, "My heart is restless, O God, until it rests in you." And you know, this is perhaps the most difficult thing to accept, the most difficult lesson that true spirituality has to teach us, that nothing, my friends, nothing will entirely remove your unfulfilled longing and uncertainty in this life. It's just part of what it means to be a human being. As people like Marx and Freud and Nietzsche remind us, to deny this reality is to repudiate human existence, to demand to be something more than a human being, and to live a lie. This is the definition of bad faith, because it's an attempt not only to flee our humanity, but to be a god to ourselves, which again is the original sin and the root of all idolatry, which, by the way, is the most frequently mentioned sin in the Bible, worshiping a false god. What we forget is that that's often and usually not some something we craft for ourselves and put on an altar. Our problem is far greater than that. We want to worship ourselves. Again, life-giving spirituality helps us to embrace our true condition so that we can find creative, joyful, and loving ways to be the kind of creature that God created us to be. Finite, imperfect human beings. My friends, if you hear nothing else that I say this morning, hear this. You don't have to be perfect. And you don't earn your salvation. You don't earn God's affection and favor and love. God doesn't look at you and see something intrinsically valuable that elicits God's love. God bestows value on you. God gives that value to you and says, I love you no matter what. You could be laying in a ditch with a needle in your arm, and God says, I still love you. You could be sitting in jail, sobering up, and God says, you're my child, and I still love you. God's love is unconditional. It's what God does for us, even though we do not deserve it. And so, what is incredible is that all of these doubts and uncertainties and struggles and pains, they lead us to God. While living in ambiguity and unfulfilled desire is often experienced as suffering and struggle, true spirituality teaches us that they are gifts. Because when we stop running away, when we reach the end of our rope and admit our powerlessness, we can finally cry out for help. And the cry for help is a cry for a power that is greater than ourselves, because we discover we are powerless to fix it. And we know that this cry is a cry for God. Remember the words of Psalm 70. It's a cry. Oh God, come to my assistance. Make haste to help me. Or in the words of the hymn, I need you. Lord, I need you. Every hour, I need you. True spirituality helps us to see that our unfulfilled desires are actually a thirst for God. We just didn't know it. We thought it was a thirst for alcohol, or drugs, or sex, or gambling, or good concerts and better entertainment. We've mistaken all along that unfulfilled desire is actually a thirst for God. Our brokenness makes us long for the one who can heal us. Our sin makes us long for the one who can forgive us. Our doubt makes us long for the one who can give us some answers. Our suffering, our anxiety, our depression, our sadness makes us long for the one who can provide some kind of comfort. Our powerlessness makes us long for the one who can actually save us. And so our emptiness, our brokenness, our doubt, our uncertainty, our imperfections, all of these things are gifts, because without these things, we would never come to an end of ourselves and be opened up to the presence of God. If you know that to be true, then somebody shout amen. Importantly, and this might be the takeaway for you today, true spirituality teaches us that suffering is not something to be avoided. It's not something that we're supposed to run away from, but something to be endured as the path to transformation. Jesus said, if you want to be one of my followers, let them deny themselves. Take up their cross, how often? Daily. And follow me. Suffering teaches us that we are not in control and we cannot save ourselves. It can teach us that we need God. Remember the words of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9. He says, God, your strength is made perfect in my weakness. In other words, when I realize that I can't do it and I get out of the way, then the Holy Spirit can work through me so that I can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. This powerful verse helps us to see that our brokenness and our imperfections are the cracks in our armor that allow God to get in. God does not scorn or ridicule our brokenness and imperfection, but loves us deeply as we struggle with these things. And God redeems our pain by using it to open our hearts to the help that God wants to give us. God comes through the wound. God comes through the wound to bring us healing and serenity. And if God does not despise our scorn, our brokenness, and our uncertainty, then neither should we. We should not scorn it in others, nor should we scorn it in ourselves, but respond as God has responded to us, with love, knowing that this is precisely the way that God transforms us. So in conclusion, I want to remind you that all of these insights come only through brutal honesty. If you are unwilling to accept the human condition, if you're unwilling to accept the ambiguity and the tension that structures our existence, and if you're focused on finding something to take away all of your doubts and to remove all of your unsatisfied desires, to give you pie in the sky by and by, and to fill you up so that you're utterly complete, if that's what you're trying to do, then you will fail over and over and over again, because that's not the kind of creature that God's created us to be. We have to be honest about who we are, which will help us to be honest about our need for God. Spirituality, in its best form, is about telling the truth, even if that truth is inconvenient. And if we cannot be honest about who we are and our need for God, then our lives will eventually unravel and we will find ourselves enslaved to something. Therefore, Jesus said, you will know the truth. Say it with me, church. And the truth will set you free. I would like to invite you to some quiet time, just for a couple of minutes of silent meditation and prayer. And in just a moment, Mary Rose will play a chime signaling the beginning of that quiet time, and then she'll signal with a chime that it's the end. But I want to invite you to ponder the virtue of honesty. And I want you to ask yourself the question, how honest am I being with myself? Do I fully accept my humanity with all of the good and the bad? Or am I trying to escape it? Am I demanding an exemption or trying to be something else? Am I trying to be less than human, or am I trying to be more than human? Am I being honest about my limitations, my doubts, my brokenness, my struggle, my addictions? Or am I living in denial, trying to cover them up and hide them from others, hide them from God, and hide them from myself? Am I being honest about my need for God, and have I truly reached a point of surrender? That's what I want you to contemplate.